The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Happy Friday, everybody. Joe Vaklavik, Standard Grain, filling in for the Chipster today. I believe we'll be back from California on Monday. Kind of a mixed deal in the grain markets today. The wheat under a little bit of pressure. We had a mixed trade in the soybean market. Old crop soybean contracts higher. New crop just a little bit lower. Corn market a little bit lower. So not anything real exciting to end the week, Dave. Davis?
Yeah, not really. If I'm going to pull anything out of, if we look at the wheat, the May held right at, and I mean spot on, $5 on the Chicago. Yeah. That's got to mean something, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if the Chicago wheat has the story that we've got in the Kansas City. I mean, if anything, it's probably too wet in some of these SRW areas. But you remember what happened back over the summer when we had that June-July rally, which was the spring wheat. It pulled everything else up with it. So they kind of move in tandem regardless of the situation, I suppose. Trade wars, that's the big story of the day. All the news was about the trade wars.
Yeah, and apparently
the pending trade wars, maybe.
Right, right. The maybe pending trade wars that may or may not arrive. And I guess the fear is, and maybe you can kind of explain this to us, the fear is that that will, the level of aggression from those against us will wind up in the commodities world. How is that?
I don't know. So the tariffs that are proposed, and these aren't even real tariffs yet. These are things that might happen. The tariffs on aluminum and steel. People think that China's a big concern, and they shouldn't be, because we only get, I think, 3% of our aluminum and steel from China. The Canadians, the nice Canadians, our neighbors to the north, they are the ones that are not so thrilled about it. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we're going to talk to Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing about the tariffs and also about this RFS story, which we talked about a little bit yesterday. And maybe now that we've had some more time to kind of digest the situation, we'll have some updated details there. With that, you want to go to the news of the day?
Yeah, sure. Well, Joe, the U.S. dollar index fell sharply early in the session, but recovered to around 90 even by the close of grain trade. The softer tone in the greenback contributed to losses in corn and wheat futures, but the bulk of today's pressure on futures was tied to profit-taking, especially in wheat. Pressure on wheat futures was also due in part to the HRW market's overbought condition, which traders worked to remedy heading into the weekend. The weather outlook remains dry for the southern plains, but technical selling overwhelmed weather concerns in today's trade. This is pretty much just technical selling ahead of the weekend, isn't it?
I believe I'd just call this kind of a technical correction. Yeah, nothing's changed in the forecast. I mean, there's very, very little relief in sight for major wheat growing areas in the southern plains. A little bit of relief in sight for the northern plains, perhaps, for some of these places in North Dakota, South Dakota, that they'll look to plant spring wheat. But for the HRW, not much relief in sight at all.
Is there a threshold for weather concerns? I mean, we've been talking about weather concerns for quite a while now, and you know, the longer my wife spends yelling at me for something, the less I listen. You know what I mean? It's like I just, after a while, become numb to it. Are we seeing a trade that's becoming a little bit numb, or is this just a Friday freak out?
For the moment, I'll attribute it to a Friday freak out, but I might change my mind on Monday. Just so
fair enough. May hard red futures fell 9¾ cents to 5.33¾. May soft red futures softened to 15½ cents to close right at $5 even. May spring wheat ended the day at 6.20¼, down 14½ cents on the day. End of the week profit taking weighed on corn futures in today's trade as traders took advantage of the steady uptrend which has been in place since mid-January. Pressure also stemmed from farmer selling as producers took advantage of the same uptrend. Pressure was limited by ongoing dryness in Argentina and this week's solid demand news for corn, but technical selling pressed futures below unchanged at the close. Not very far below though, Joe.
No, I think this has been a really good performance in the corn market. You know, one thing that you said, it's been a steady uptrend, and it really has been just a slow, steady grind. We haven't seen any huge up days. It's still kind of a low volatility environment. And I prefer that kind of rally versus the crop scare rally where we go nuts and it all happens in the course of a couple of days. This thing seems like it's on pretty solid footing here, really.
Well, we've got December. I mean, we're still above $4 in the December contract. Does that bode well for Monday?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my fear here, of course, when we've got all these headlines floating around, is that you get some sort of negative headline regarding either RFS or tariffs over the weekend. That's always a risk, but it's more so a risk in this sort of environment with all this chatter going on.
All right. Well, March corn futures were 1.5 cents lower today at 377.25. July futures fell a penny to 392.5. December futures ended the day at 404.25, off just a 0.5 cent today. Soybean futures surged to fresh contract highs in the overnight session, which, as with corn and wheat futures, presented a profit-taking opportunity on the day. The market remains uneasy over the ramifications of the Trump administration's decision to place tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum, fearing Chinese importers may retaliate against U.S. commodities, primarily soybeans. On the demand side, USDA announced daily soybean export sales in 4 of the past 5 days. This as crop estimates continue to slide in Argentina, fueling South American crop concerns and allowing most contracts to close in positive territory. Now, you mentioned maybe it's not that big of a deal with the tariffs as far as China goes.
Well, it could be. From a pure financial standpoint, I don't think it's going to hurt China a whole lot. But if they want to, do something in retaliation just on principle or for whatever reason, they certainly could. And it appears as if Brazil is going to have a big enough bean crop where they could probably do something like that and still get the beans that they need. But at the end of the day, we know China needs to buy beans, and if they have to buy them from the U.S., they will. This export activity that we've seen here the last 5 days is excellent. It's a good start. We need to see a whole lot more of that if we're going to knock some bushels off the balance sheets, because for the moment here, we're still working with the idea that we're going to miss the export target.
All right. Well, March soybean futures gained 3.25 cents to 10.60.75. July beans firmed 2.75 cents to 10.79.25. November beans ended the session at 10.37.25, off 0.75 cents today. On the livestock side, live cattle futures were under pressure from a softer tone in the cash market and on losses in the Dow. This despite the discount April futures hold to the cash market and today's sharply higher beef packing margins. April live cattle futures fell $1.15 to 122.17.5. June cattle softened $1.10 to 144.40. March feeder futures fell 137.5 to 143.67.5. On the snout side, lean hog futures were mixed, with corrective buying supporting nearby contracts as technical-based selling pressured back month contracts. Pork product prices firmed slightly today, but cash market action was unimpressive, limiting support for futures to end the week. April lean hog futures were 60 cents higher at 67.57.5, and June hogs fell 32.5 to 79.75. Even absent from the conversation so far, Joe, a little softer tone in the Dow today, but not huge losses to report.
No, that's just another couple hundred points down, and the S&P is actually acting quite a bit better. You know, the Dow is only made up of 30 stocks, and a couple of the components were down big. I think McDonald's stock was down 5% today or something, but the S&P, which represents the broader market, is not off as much. Your NASDAQ actually trading a little bit higher, so a lot of volatility in the stock market. Really, like we talked about yesterday, kind of a return to normal volatility, if anything. This is the kind of stuff that you would usually see in the stock market. Those last 2 years were kind of an exception to the rule, I guess. Well, we will be back here on AgriTalk after the bell. We've got Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. We're going to talk tariffs, trade wars, Argentina, Brazil, South American production. We'll be back.
What is the Corvus Zone? It's the weed-free area between the rows. But only when you use Corvus, the one corn herbicide that delivers 3 levels of grass and broadleaf weed defense: burn down, residual, and reactivation with rain. You want season-long control of the toughest weeds, including resistant ones? Use Corvus Pre-Emergence Corn Herbicide, America's preferred choice. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Market Rally is brought to you by Credenz Soybean Seed from Bayer. Designed using smart genetics with tailored varieties to fit any field condition.
Welcome back to AgriTalk after the bell, everybody. Joe back, Levick Standard Grain, filling in for Chip here on Friday afternoon. Chip is still in California. He's waxing his surfboard, wearing yoga pants, but he'll be back next week, I believe. Remember, if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, hashtag ChipATB, we would be happy to hear from you and answer any questions that you might have. We've got Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing on the phone. He is one of my favorite guests. Alan, how you doing today? Thank you for being on the show.
Well, we're doing pretty good. Sunshine and sky's blue. It's supposed to be 60 degrees this weekend. Guy could think spring was coming.
Yeah, you would think so, although they fool us sometimes.
Well, I understand they shut down D.C. due to high winds today. That's a new one.
Well, that'll happen. So we'll start off with this trade war thing. That was all they were talking about on the financial news here today. I know that these tariffs are not even a done deal, but the market's reacting a little bit. What's your take on the tariffs and their potential impact on any of these markets?
Well, I think the number one, it was kind of an off-the-cuff remark. A reporter had pressed Trump on it, and he said they're going to implement them next week. What we don't know yet is, first of all, are they going to apply to all the countries or just to targeted countries? A lot of times in these tariff announcements, you've got to justify that it's country A and country B because of they're subsidizing production or dumping or something. It could be against all countries, but we don't know that yet. So there's a possible overreaction there. We've already heard from Mexico and the EU basically saying if you do it to us, we're going to do something back to you. China's kind of playing low-key, but, of course, their chief negotiator's here in town. So there may be some things going on there. I think that the couple things to remember and relative to ag, we are vulnerable because we're a net exporter. Ag is a net exporter, whereas the rest of the country is a net importer. If other countries want to hit us where it hurts, relatively speaking, they're going to go after ag. And we've already seen China open the investigation on the grain sorghum. They've kind of hinted to some of the Soybean Association people that they might have to do it on beans. I think if they do, it'll probably be 30 days from now when they've got a better handle on Brazilian production and particularly availability at the export ports. They do need a certain amount of soybeans from the U.S. during the year. The South America can't fill their entire 97 or 98 million ton import needs, but but they certainly could make it difficult for a while to buy U.S. beans.
So if you had to put a number on it percentage-wise, what chance do we have of actually seeing China put a tariff on U.S. beans? I mean, is it likely? Is it really just totally dependent on Brazilian production?
Well, no, I think it's probably better than 50-50 chance that it's going to happen. Now, of course, the degree is the question. We've seen Japan, for example, has tariffs that only kick in at a certain level of imports. Brazil did that to us on ethanol. They need it, so they'll allow so much in, and then after that there's a tariff. It could be graduated. There's also a possibility that when it's all said and done, the announcement isn't what actually gets put in place. I think one of the things we have to also remember is that you're hearing, oh, China's really only 3% of the steel supply, and it's really the EU and Canada we're going after. That's a bogus statistic. Basically, what we told our clients today is that a lot of that Chinese production is being, we'll call it laundered, by going through other countries and being incorporated in products there. So you end up with, I believe, 48% of the world capacity for steel production is actually in China. That's probably a better gauge of the impact they have on the world market than the finished goods that are purchased directly from them. I thought the Commerce Secretary Ross made some pretty good comments on CNBC this morning. The tariff itself isn't going to have a big impact on U.S. prices in terms of, his example was a can of Coke. The 10% aluminum tariff adds 0.3 cents to the Coke. A car was a little bigger issue because there's a ton of steel in an average car. But even there, he was trying to minimize the impact. I think what we probably are overlooking there is, if you're reducing competition from those cheap imports, any self-respecting capitalist in America is going to try and raise their prices 4 or 5%, even if the cost of the tariff is only 0.5%. So we'll probably see some inflation in some key ag components, grain bins, for example. Tractors would be another one that got a lot of steel in them. Things like that are where you're going to see the impact.
So if I'm a listener to the show right now and I'm hearing you say that there's a significant chance that China could put some sort of tariff on U.S. beans, my question is this: what does that do to the soybean price, or what kind of impact does it have? And is it short-term or is it long-term?
Well, in the short run, it's actually helping us, I think. I think what you're seeing is some imports right now to get ahead of any tariff announcement. If you're if you're an end user in China or Canada or Japan or any of these places, and you suspect your government might do something like that, then you're buying right now. And you've seen several sales announcements this week. So it looks to me like some of the countries may be just trying to get ahead of it. Now, that could bite us later on because you front load your demand, and then if there is a tariff and they've already stocked up, then you see things drop off pretty dramatically over the summer or into late fall. Again, timing's a hard thing to gauge here. We've had that same kind of discussion with NAFTA. If NAFTA blows up, if somebody actually pulls out, well, there's a six-month negotiating period on NAFTA, and even after that, you just switch to WTO tariff, and it phases in. So, these things tend to be a slow-moving train wreck, not an immediate. The market's trying to make it immediate, but could it hurt our export demand for a time? Yes. Now, having said that, I do need to make one other point and relative to ag exports, and that is the world's a closed system, all right? There's only X amount of grain in the world. There's only X amount of demand for that grain at a given price level. So if all of a sudden China's buying exclusively South American soybeans or South American and Ukrainian or wherever they're going to get it from, we need to be selling to the countries that they were selling to. All right, mm-hmm. There is a secondary. There's a vacuum effect there that will create opportunities for U.S. in other countries, but there will be a price impact because there's usually a 2 or 3 month lag between that grain shifting direction and filling in the hole on the back end.
To stay on the policy front, if you want to call it that, there's been a lot of talk about the RFS in the news here. The most recent headline, you know, no deal was reached in this meeting yesterday, but now the idea that Trump supports a RIN cap along with higher blend levels. What do you make of the situation with the RFS right now?
Well, for a while there, 2 or 3 weeks ago, RIN ethanol prices were actually 50 cents a gallon cheaper than gasoline. Now that's firmed up. It's in the 20s now, but you know, with those kind of spreads, RINs should be almost zero anyway. They're not, which tells me that there probably are some hedge fund speculator types that own some of them that are sitting on them, or other participants in the supply chain that just say, "Hey, I don't need them, but I know somebody else will pay for them." Mm-hmm. The RFS, if you go to 15% year round universally, I think that helps. I mean, obviously, if you went to 15% for everybody, that's a 50% increase in ethanol consumption versus 10%, which right. We have a little over 10% everywhere now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think overall this is maybe not as negative as some people are spinning it to be.
I don't think it's that negative. I mean, the cap is, there's an issue with the cap. To look at that, just look at biodiesel. All right, mm-hmm. If you have no blend credit, you can't make any money in biodiesel unless you're getting a pretty high premium for the RINs that you're generating when you produce the stuff. In other words, you can sell the RINs and make up for the lack of the dollar blend credit. But at current bean oil prices, you can't make any money otherwise. So putting a cap on D4 type RINs is a problem because that's where all the profit in the industry is coming from right now with no blend credit. Ethanol is a little different situation because we have reached critical mass on production.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Alan, real quick, we got about 20 seconds here till the break. U.S. dollar was down a little bit today. Do you see the currencies having much impact on the grain markets here short term? I know we've been soft overall.
You know, soft dollar has helped commodities because anything priced in dollars, if the dollar's weaker, it takes more dollars to buy that same amount of value. So weak dollar generally is going to support commodities. It's expressed through exports, but it's going to happen even if you're not seeing the exports right away.
Very good. That is Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. He'll be back in the second segment here. Again, I'm Joe Vec, the Vic Standard Grain filling in for Chip here on Friday afternoon. We will be back on AgriTalk ATB.
Oh, Ed, see the headlines?
Yep. Credenz soybeans are designed using smart genetics.
Look, state-of-the-art breeding advances the best germplasm.
Plus, tailored varieties for any field conditions with choice in herbicide-tolerant traits.
And Credenz soybeans come backed by Bayer's ongoing innovation.
Want increased yields and ROI? Plant the smarter soybean.
Talk to an authorized Credenz retailer or discover the right Credenz variety at credenz.bayer.us.
Always read and follow label instructions.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
It is time for Market Rally's Tech Talk. We've got Pro Farmer Senior Market Economist Dan Vaught is in the Market Rally studio. I'm sorry, AgriTalk ATV studio. Dan, which is the market move that matters the most today, my friend?
Hey, Joe, I'm looking at May cocoa futures today. The cocoa market's been working its way lower since fall 2016 when it peaked at $3,422 per metric ton. It made a run at the long-term downtrend line and failed at $2,236 last November. The subsequent decline led it to retest the multi-year lows around 1800 in late December, whereas the bearish inability to force a follow-through drop opened the door to the recent surge. The May contract topped trend line resistance around 2050 on February 15th, which apparently spurred big gains since then. Indeed, after topping the November high yesterday, it followed through strongly to the upside today. It looks very much like the downtrend in cocoa prices is over.
Thank you very much, Dan. That's Dan Vaught from Pro Farmer. You can check out his work on ProFarmer.com.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit tryprofarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's tryprofarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. Pro Farmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the Pro Farmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Radiate is designed to help crops build stronger, healthier root systems and improve growers' yields. Ask your CPS dealer about Radiate or go to RadiateGiveBack.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
All right, everybody, welcome back to AgriTalk ATB. Joe Vaklevic, Standard Grain, filling in for Chip today. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, hashtag ChipATB, you can follow me at Standard Grain. Davis, you got a quick market recap for us on this lovely Friday?
I sure do. Well, May hard red futures fell 9¾ cents to 5.33¾. Soft red futures softened 15½ cents to close at $5 even. March corn futures were 1½ cents lower at 3.77¼. December futures ended the day at 4.04¼, off just 0.5 cent today. March soybean futures gained 3¼ cents to 10.60¾. November soybeans ended the session at 10.37¼, off 0.75 cents today. On the livestock side, April live cattle futures fell $1.15 to 122.17½, and March feeders fell 137.5 to 143.67½, and April lean hog futures were 60 cents higher at 67.57½. Now back to you, Varsity Joe.
Thank you, Davis. We are back with Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. Alan, there's been a lot of talk about this Argentina situation, an ongoing drought, very little relief in sight. How bad is it down there?
Well, it's pretty bad. You saw the Argentine Grain Exchange, the BA, lower their crop condition ratings. They've got single digits for the good and excellent portion of the crop. High percentages, 70 or 80% of the corn and beans in poor, very poor condition. It's always tough to see if they're talking their position just a little bit there, but we know from the soil moisture maps and the rainfall maps that there's definitely a good chunk of the crop that's got some issues here. We've been assuming that the yield was probably down about 15% from trend. Obviously, if you take those production numbers or those ratings literally, it would be lower than that, but I think the big question for next Thursday is USDA prepared now, having taken the go slow approach last month, to finally lower their estimate and tighten up the world numbers for Argentina at least?
If you had a guess, what do you think the market's trading here in terms of Argentina soybean production? USDA was at 54, Informa was at 44 today, and I've seen numbers lower than that.
Well, I think we're probably trading about a 47 or 48. That I don't think anybody's trading 44 yet, but a fairly sharp drop from where USDA's at. Where it gets complicated, of course, is we're probably trading a 116 in Brazil, and that's a bunch higher than USDA. So to a degree, they offset each other in terms of what the likely impact on world stocks use ratio is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't seen as dramatic of a rally in the corn market, but it's been a nice, slow, steady move higher here since mid-January. Corn exports have been fantastic. Do you expect this strong demand to continue?
I think we've got a pretty good window here. First quarter was terrible. We knew it was going to be because of the record Brazilian crop last year and the big overhang into the export market. And we're still seeing that in the February statistics for Brazilian exports. The big crop resulted in larger exports in February for both corn and beans than what they had a year ago. So that's ending. And, of course, we're thinking Brazil's corn crop is smaller. We know we're pretty sure the first crop was smaller. Second crop planning is actually matching the five-year average in Mato Grosso, but we think that the acreage is down a little bit from what they had last year. So the long way of saying, I think there'll be a less competition from Brazil in the first couple of months here than what we had a year ago after their harvest. So that's positive, particularly for third quarter and fourth quarter exports. Of course, corn's less vulnerable to the retaliatory type things we talked about in the tariff section, at least from Chinese perspective. They're just not buying U.S. corn in any quantity. Mm-hmm. But if Mexico was to put some restrictions on U.S. corn exports, obviously that would factor into what we can do because they're such a big taker of U.S. corn.
Anybody who's been bearish or is bearish this soybean market is immediately going to pull out their balance sheets, and they're going to show you how far behind we are in regard to soybean exports, and that no matter how many beans we crush, we just don't have the capacity to make up that shortfall. And they'll tell you the carryout's going up to 600 or 650 or 700, depending on who you talk to. If that's the case, the market's got to be overpriced here, right?
Yeah, the supply and demand, stock usage versus price basically says anything over 1050 is too high for old crop, based on what we know today. I think USDA probably is going to have to bump up their exports again, or bump up their stocks, cut their exports for beans next Thursday, just because we are so far behind and they're running out of months for us to catch up. I'm only in the 10 or 20 million category as far as how much the stocks go up. But the trade-off there, of course, is with the Argentine drought. Where that really shows up isn't whole bean exports. It's going to be meal exports. They're down a little bit right here because not only concerns about the production, but also they had a trucker strike that interrupted production for a couple of weeks there. But so what I'm saying is U.S. maybe gets a little more meal exports, but we end up taking some of that back on the bean export side.
So on the bean exports, what's the best we can hope for here? I mean, is there a chance that we hit this revised target and we keep that carry out in that 530 neighborhood, or is that even a stretch at this point?
Well, the further you go into March and April, the more of a stretch it is. In other words, we need to see some improvement here because we normally are going to be competing with Brazilian supplies, and U.S. export inspections by week are going to drop down to less than 500,000 tons and pretty much stay there.
Right. Seasonally, this is not a good time, right?
No, this is kind of the shelf period or the shoulder period here. I thought because they planted the beans late, we might have an opportunity to have a couple weeks of above average or above normal shipments. That we haven't seen that in February. It's still possible for March, but then I think that window kind of closes on us.
Mm-hmm. I think, shift gears here a little bit. I think we've seen farmer interest grow quite a bit in these prices. Profitability and a lot of the spreadsheets that are floating around is looking quite a bit better. We're back to some profitable levels in corn and in soybeans. What are you seeing here, or what are you advising on the grain marketing side for both crops?
Well, we don't like to get in front of a freight train when it's coming down the track. So, you know, we've got pretty good momentum yet. We have hit some key resistance areas around 405 on the these corn. That's one we're watching very closely. That's a speed line. We've also got some weekly chart targets around 383 on the nearby. We haven't quite got there. But, again, if you look at what we call our techno fundamental forecast, and we send out every month in our webinars and also our special research reports, they would suggest old crop could trade as high as 410 with the fundamentals like they are. Mm-hmm. Right, that's between now and the end of August. So we're high now, we're overbought now, we're maybe up against resistance now, but that doesn't rule out either going a little further now or having a pullback and then taking another swing this summer. So we think you do need to reward the rally. We've had people making small increments for cash flow, particularly if they've got hedge gains from last summer that they can add to it. But again, not in a real hurry as long as the momentum's there.
Mm-hmm. Now, the old crop corn is probably still the most immediate problem. What are you seeing on the basis side? I know that's something that guys, a lot, especially guys out west, have had problems with.
Yeah, the basis normally gets weaker when the board's rallying, and that has been kind of the case here. They're complaining that it's just not moving with the board, or it's only moving a fraction of what the board does on a given day. It's fairly common. Now that we're into March, we're bumping against the May bids. It's fairly common for the basis to flatten out here and not earn its carry as reliably as it does against the D's or against the March. So you're relying on the board rally to raise that flat price. Again, we're starting to see, even in the Western Corn Belt, we're seeing some 360, 365, 370 kind of cash trades. If you've got high enough yield, you can make money on that. I still talk to producers that need $4 or close to it, but
right.
Other guys are a little more flexible because they had those record yields last year.
I'd like to talk about inflation and interest rates for a second. We know that interest rates are kind of trending higher here. There's been talk of the possibility of widespread inflation. Do you see any of that stuff happening? And if so, what sort of impact does it have on our grain markets or our ag markets?
Well, inflation is going to make, in general, weak dollar and inflation are kind of interrelated. If you have more inflation, you'll tend to see commodity prices higher. You won't necessarily make any more money, however. That's the lesson from the late 70s and early 80s is your costs are going up at the same time your selling price is going up, and you have to be very adept at your footwork to make money in that environment. We have to be a little careful with the interest rates because we are sitting on some really major chart support right here, technical support. Two or three different methodologies all coming to the same spot. I think there's a possibility of a little corrective bounce here in interest rates. The news is clearly toward higher rates. The Fed's talking about 3 or 4 increases for the year. One of them is probably going to be in March. I think that's almost a given. But again, that's already in the market. So you could get a little bit of a softness here in the rates just from a technical standpoint. If you do, and you're exposed, that might be a chance to get some of your financing locked in.
Hey, Alan, real quick, about 10 seconds here, contact info.
Hey, we're in Omaha. We're at 402-697-3623. That's the office number. Website's www.bruglermarketing.com. I'd also be happy to talk with you by email at alanb@bruglermktg, short for marketing.com.
Thank you very much. That's Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. We'll be back on AgriTalk ATV.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer?
verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
What makes SO4 the smart sulfur source? Superior solubility for delivering sulfur and calcium when the plant needs it, throughout the entire growing season. Other sulfur sources release too quickly or too slowly, failing to meet the crop's full needs. SO4 is also pH neutral, so it won't acidify the soil like those other sulfur sources. As you can see, SO4 is the smart sulfur source. Talk to your agronomist or learn more at calciumproducts.com.
Roots. They're your crop's foundation. Your success depends on them. Your roots can make or break you each season. Take charge of your roots this season with Radiate from Crop Production Services. Designed to give your crop a stronger, more robust foundation for yield and quality, Radiate can make all the difference for your crop this season. Ask your CPS dealer about Radiate or go to RadiateGiveBack.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org. Tired of yesterday's missed weeds becoming today's big problem? Get rid of missed weeds for good with Liberty, the herbicide that puts an end to missed weeds, guaranteed. Plus, Liberty is proven effective on tough-to-control and resistant grasses and broadleaf weeds. So choose Liberty, the simply better solution for superior weed control. Backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Talk to your retailer to learn how you can qualify for the Liberty Guarantee. Always read and follow label.
Maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season with ProSaro Fungicide from Bayer.
We made it, Davis. We made it to the weekend, I think.
Almost.
As soon as we're done here, then it's the weekend for me.
Yes, it is. I was just thinking about that. You got big plans this weekend?
No. My wife is going out of town and doing like a girls' weekend, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've got to watch the kids. So
okay.
That's it. That's it for me. What about you?
Let's see. You know what it is? My son has his very last basketball tournament of the season tomorrow.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Very soon, that flat spot in my butt is hopefully going to round back out here.
Were they any good this year?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. The boys have a pretty solid team of sportos put together there for his little fifth grade team, and they really enjoy doing it. They're dedicated. They're hardcore. You know, let's go blue.
Good, good. So to recap today, we had kind of a slow Friday trade, I guess. Corn market traded both sides of unchanged. We settled just a little bit lower. Soybean markets, same deal, settled a little bit higher in the old crop beans, a little bit lower in the new crop beans, and the wheat market was off sharply, and kind of what me and Davis describe as just a technical correction because nothing's changed in the weather forecast.
Right.
Kansas, Oklahoma, a lot of the southern plains still very, very dry. I thought there was a good conversation with Alan. He had some really good stuff on the RFS, on the tariffs. This is all very interesting and all market moving stuff here, really.
Well, and it's important to keep, there are a lot of sort of big ideas floating around out there, and it's very important to keep perspective and to keep ourselves educated on these items as they come down the pike.
Being a risk manager, I don't like the increased headline risk, and we knew that this was going to be the case when Trump was elected. We knew that there was going to be things like that happened. But now we've got a couple of them kind of combined, the RFS mm-hmm. and this tariff deal wrapped up into something that all happened in the same couple of days. So there's a lot of headline risk here, and you don't like to see that kind of stuff necessarily. I dread that we're going to see some really bearish headline over one of these weekends. You know, that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, and it was interesting. I was reading an article by John Kemp for Reuters, and in an editorial piece, that I think it was, that he had put out talking about how trading is a little bit different now. And he did make the point that there's always been the argument that, well, they don't care about the fundamentals. And then the fundamental guys say, well, they don't care about the technicals. And, you know, it sort of goes back and forth and back and forth. But, you know, there's a lot of headline chasing going around these days, and it does seem to be impacting these markets. I'm thinking about crude especially.
Speaking of headline chasing, I don't know if this is it, but they just had their CFTC, their Commitment of Traders report out, and
ooh, yeah.
We've just got an enormous fund long in the soybean meal market, and it's getting to be pretty significant in the soybean market. So fund managers or money managers are wasting no time rushing into those markets. And, you know, a lot of times when they get a little over their skis there, that can indicate that maybe you're getting close to some sort of top of the market.
Yeah.
So with that, we got the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer report today, bud.
That we do. Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is brought to you by Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. Cutting-edge analysis, risk management, and the tools you need to succeed. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Joe.
Yes.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I was going to read to you, there's a very, very interesting little segment in EIA's This Week in Petroleum. It's a report that they put out each week. I keep an eye on it for distillate supplies, propane information, and stuff here. As according to this article, as the saying goes, eventually the solution to low prices is low prices. The U.S. propane markets transition from balancing via imports to balancing via exports is a recent example. It's definitely worth a look. Listeners, we can talk about this more in future broadcasts. But we've been watching propane imports and wondering what sort of impact they're going to have, and suspecting that that would be higher retail prices for us here as supplies rebalance. And what this article is trying to tell us is that, yeah, there's typically been a correlation between propane prices and crude oil prices, and we're starting to see that come back as supplies begin to rebalance here domestically. Real quick on the futilizers and ferrules, mixed to slightly higher on the week. Anhydrous ammonia up $1.88 by the short ton to $505.83. UAN solutions higher 28%, up $2.04. 32% up about a buck. Not real big news there. Urea 89 cents higher to $367.36. Phosphates mixed with DAP off 43 cents, and MAP 183 higher by the short ton. Altogether, DAP is priced at a regional average of $472.12, and MAP is currently priced at $506.71. Joe, I do not like what I'm seeing in this phosphate market one bit. We expect a spread between DAP and MAP. Listeners, you've heard this before, between about 15 and 20 bucks. Right now, MAP is at just shy of a $35 premium to DAP. Usually what that means, well, DAP takes its license to move higher to try and correct that spread. We're watching the phosphate spreads. I don't like what we see. Now, remember, it's not that long ago we recommended that you go ahead and get your spring fertilizers, be it nitrogen, be it phosphate, be it even potassium, booked for spring, because I think there's more upside ahead. Potash, 14 cents higher to $342.96. New crop revenue based on December 18 futures unchanged at $632.40 per acre. Diesel fell a penny to $237. Propane, 2 cents higher to $1.46. Nutrient Composite Index firmed 1.62 points to $540.64. Joe, that compares to last year at this time, $527.10. Just that propane a little story bit above last year.
Was that the propane or propane accessories also?
Propane, no mention of the accessories, although you're going to want those accessories to use your propane.
You got the tweet of the day for us?
Today's tweets are brought to you by Beer Being Beer. They say you can't trust beer, but you can always trust beer to be beer. And now, today's tweets at top third. The new aluminum tariff might make beer more expensive, but not boxed wine, Joe. Ha ha, there's your workaround. At Chief321, as I sit down for breakfast and a cup of coffee at LAX, the gal sitting close by is drinking beer at 6:50 a.m. You know, Joe, how sometimes you encounter people, they're still doing yesterday after you moved on today to today. I wonder if that's one of those deals there. And one more, at Bolt Marketing 1, that beer is starting to sound pretty good. Now back to you, Varsity Joe.
All righty, well, thank you for joining us, everybody, on Friday. Thank you to Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. I believe Chip will be back on Monday. I know I'm not here, so everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch you next time here on AgriTalk ATB.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.